This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, hello. How's it going? My name's Ruby and welcome back to News Time. This is a show where we take a look at five news stories from around the world. But I'm still kind of in holiday mode. I'm going to need a bit of extra help with this one, I think. So I've invited two awesome News Time regulars to give me a hand, Luke and Ryan. Hi, guys.
Hi, Ruby.
Hi, Ruby.
Thanks for coming in during your holidays to help me out. Have you had a good summer break so far?
We've been fishing. We've been going all over the place. Ryan caught three jellyfish and one fish. I caught two fish.
We almost touched them, but our mum said no because there might be tentacles on them.
Good thinking, Mum. It's not a good idea to touch wild animals. And what did you do with those fish that you caught?
Oh, we just let them go on the net.
Nice. Actually, that reminds me of some underwater news that I heard about over the holidays. You know what? I think we should talk about it. What happens next again?
Story number five.
Ah, that's right. Holiday brain. Thanks, guys. In the blue waters of the Pacific Ocean, off the west coast of Mexico, scientists have made a big discovery. They think they might have found a new species of beaked whale.
It has a beak.
And it's a whale?
This is not a beak like a bird's beak. It's more like a dolphin's bottlenose. These whales are really big, about the length of a car. But they're hard to find because they're pretty shy and they like to swim in really deep water.
They would probably be very excited just finding it in a random place in a random time.
Like, what is that? A new discovery?
These scientists were really excited. They say it's rare to even see one beaked whale, so to find a friendly group is really special.
When they heard this group of whales talking to each other, they realised it sounded different to other beaked whales they'd heard before. It's like they spoke another language.
They started to wonder whether this could be an undiscovered species.
I think that's really cool. Maybe it sounds like something like that.
A new species is great news for the beaked whale family because they're endangered. The scientists are doing a couple more tests just to make sure that this really is a new whale species. Oh, I can't wait to find out. What else did you get up to during the holidays?
Oh, we went to the museum.
Oh, nice. What was that like?
We saw all the T-Rexes in the T-Rex family. The Allosaurus and the Megalodon.
That sounds so fun. Do you have a favourite dinosaur?
I think it would probably be Predator X. It's a big whale, but way bigger. It's a meat eater. It eats whales and that for lunch.
Cool. I think mine's the star of our next story.
Story number four.
More than 100 million years ago, in the ancient lagoons of a place that we now call Brazil, there used to live a funny kind of creature, Ubi Raja Raja Betis, which means Lord of Spears. It might sound like a mighty big dinosaur, but it was actually about the size of a chicken. It hopped around on 2 feet and had a mane of thick hair and special feathers that stood straight up from its shoulders, like huge spears.
The head looks a bit like a duck. It looks like a lemur's tail.
Scientists say that Ubi Raja Raja is unlike anything they've seen before. It's helping them learn a lot about the evolution of feathers. Because, after all, the birds of today evolved from dinosaurs.
The chicken actually used to be a T-Rex, and T-Rex evolved into a chicken.
Feathers can do lots of amazing things. They can keep birds dry and warm, of course, and they can help them fly.
Sometimes they use their feathers to make them look bigger and scarier. Sometimes they made them to look so they could disguise in with a tree or something.
And some feathers, of course, help birds show off how pretty they are. Over millions and millions of years, we can see the same kinds of behaviours in lots of different birds. Like a proud peacock puffing up its huge green tail feathers and strutting its stuff, or a cockatoo's yellow mohawk at full height, telling other birds exactly how it's feeling. Gosh, they're noisy! Another thing we've been hearing a lot this summer is cicadas.
Yeah, we were at the park. It was so noisy.
Oh, listen to them all. I love going to the park too, walking through the flowers and watching all the busy bees. In fact, let's drop in and visit some busy bees in our next story.
Story number three.
In the country Vietnam, Asian honeybees have been doing something unusual to protect themselves from giant hornets.
It's like a bee and a wasp mixed together.
Hornets are really big wasps, and giant hornets that live in Asia, they can be a big problem for honeybees because they attack their nests.
But why do they attack them?
They eat them, and they steal their honey too. But these Asian honeybees have come up with a nifty trick to keep the hornets away.
Honey, wings, to fly away for their life.
They're actually using poo. Ugh. Now, what do you think they're doing with poo?
Putting it on them?
That would be disgusting, Luke.
These brave little bees are going out and collecting animal dung from cows and sheep and covering their nests with poo.
I didn't know they collected poo, but I thought they collected honey and pollen, but not poo.
Yeah, not all honeybees do this. So far, it seems like it's just these Asian honeybees in Vietnam. And it's very surprising to scientists because honeybees are famous for being, well, very clean and tidy creatures. They're not sure exactly why it's keeping the hornets away, although I can think of a reason.
Yes, because of stinky smell, I guess so.
How else do you think these bees might be able to protect themselves?
When another bee dies, just get the stinger and hold it in the hand and it's like a sword.
That would be quite a sight to see down at the local park.
We were scooting the park today, actually.
To a skate park on our scooters.
Cool. Can you do any tricks?
I'm able to, like, drop in from a little bit, and I can also do jumps on my scooter.
Me too.
You know, cool sports are set to take the Olympic stage in Paris 2024. Let's find out what they are in our next story.
Story number two.
So when you think of the Olympics, what sports do you think of?
Swimming, soccer, rugby.
And what about netball?
Yes, because every sport is an Olympic sport.
Actually, not all sports are Olympic sports. They have to be specially chosen. And the host country, where the games are held, well, that country gets to choose which sports will be added. For the Olympic Games happening in 4 years, France has chosen to focus on young people and the sports that they love.
Maybe video games? Handball?
Good guesses. It's actually skateboarding, surfing, rock climbing, and for the first time ever, breakdancing.
Breakdancing is when you do like some like really cool moves and like go on your head and like spin around and like do some really cool moves. Dancing on the floor, I think. And you can do like you put one hand on the floor and you turn yourself around when you're in the air.
They're also making sure there will be 100% gender equality. That means there'll be exactly the same number of men and women competing in the games.
That's important because everyone's equal.
Absolutely. And it sounds like all that holiday time spent at the skate park could be the beginning of some Olympic training. And it looks like we're up to our last story.
Story number one.
Well, seeing as it's the end of the summer holidays, I thought we'd talk about going back to school. How do you feel about starting a brand new year?
Excited, but a bit scary because you don't know what's going to happen next day and next day.
Yeah, that's true. Not knowing what's going to happen can make the future a bit scary, but it's also what makes it exciting.
Starting school means learning new things and seeing old friends and making new ones too.
I'm excited because you can go on and do new things and you see new teachers.
It must be really exciting to be able to go back to school. Last year, lots of kids around Australia had to stay home to learn while we were all helping stop the spread of the coronavirus. How did you feel about learning from home?
I liked it a bit because you're able to see your family and you don't have to go that far because all you have to do is get out of your bed, go downstairs.
Dad was a principal and Mum was the headmaster.
That sounds like fun. And were there any parts that weren't so fun?
It was hard and tough because you couldn't see your friends. At least you can go on Zoom with them.
Yep, it's great to be able to talk to friends and family in different places on the phone or on Zoom. Do you have any advice for kids who might not be able to go back to school just yet?
COVID will be over soon. Don't give up. They will not be homeschooling forever. COVID has to end, so you will able to be with your friends and family.
Keep on going. You can do it. You can learn from home from your parents. You can. Keep on going. Everyone is having a hard time. Keep on going.
That's great advice for everyone. And what about for all those kids who might be starting primary school for the first time?
I hope you have a great time. School's fun. And if you see your new teacher, don't be scared. Then you'll get along very nicely.
Play games at lunchtime and it will be fine and good.
Awesome. Thanks so much for all your great ideas this week and for sharing your holiday news with me.
I hope you enjoy the rest of your summer holidays and have a great start to the new school year. All right, well, I guess I should get out there and look for some fresh news stories for next week's show. I'll catch you then.
See you later, alligator.
Don't forget your toilet paper
and the elevator with the calculator.
I just make up words.
Toodaloo, kangaroo.